This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 585, Fantastic Forms and Where to Find Them. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. Hey, Toasty.
Hey, I'm back.
Again.
I kind of forgot about my dad's birthday. It was a big one, so I couldn't really miss it. 60 years old, man. Holy. I can't think of a word that's not a curse right now. But you know where I'm going with it. Crazy.
I think I might have an idea, yeah.
Yes, holy Schnitzeldorf. Thank you, Frasley. It's good to be back. Good to have the whole crew back again.
So we did tell you in a month and a bit you're going to be doing the show alone, right?
For like the birthday /
sure
anniversary thing.
I mean, we could do that, or we could just like do it another day.
I mean, it's up to you guys.
I think a Toasty solo show would be really hilarious to hear.
I think he would knock it out of the park.
I want to hear a Toasty solo show. Not an all-warrior cast, or Medros' nemesis' cast, or anything like that.
A solo cast, eh? I'd be willing to give it a shot, honestly.
I'm very curious. Like, I've done many solo shows. I know for a fact I should not do solo shows ever again. I'm just curious what other people would think of you guys doing solo casts. It'd be interesting to see how well you guys do. I know, I derail horribly.
And sometimes that's okay, as long as, you know, it's an entertaining derail, I don't mind derailments. I mean, honestly, when I listen to podcasts, I mean, yeah, the news and opinions on the news is great, but for the most part, the reason I choose to listen to a podcast is because I enjoy hearing how the various hosts interact with each other. So, I mean, doing a solo cast would be an interesting way to do it. I honestly don't know how Ro does it every week. I mean, yeah, he has bits, and that's great. But, like, yeah, doing it week after week is insane.
It is pretty crazy, yeah. I couldn't do it, Rodas. Clearly, I've tried. but we'll do the show another day.
Yeah, that's
just so that everybody's game around. Yeah, I thought you might think so.
Oh yeah, I'm okay with that.
We also have Fandeth, as you guys heard.
Hi. Yeah, that's us. We're breaking things. Me and you. You chose to be birthed on that day. And I choose to be married on that day. And
I don't think... did Medros really choose to be birthed that day?
Yes.
And for all we know, it was his twin that made the decision.
Oh.
She was first.
Oh. Well, that just makes him a follower. She paved the path for him. And he just followed. And we would never have this if you were doing a solo show. Come on now. Aren't you right? Thankful? We
wouldn't. Hey, Toasty.
Yep.
We both found the exact same image for that emoji we both just uploaded.
Did we?
Yeah. Because now there's two of them.
What? What? Oh, well, whatever.
I'm just amused, that's all.
What, did we both search fedora transparent?
I searched for a red fedora emoji.
Oh, I searched for fedora transparent background. And that was the first one that came up. Either way, it worked out.
It did.
I was worried I'd have to, like, do some Photoshop and turn it red, and I'm like, I don't want to put in that much effort.
So, I don't know who the Rathion character is in chat, but you're getting, the person's getting, everything they put is getting the same reaction from me.
That's just mean, man.
Blame Emma. Ain't my fault. Anyways, Fan, how was your weekend? Well,
it was good. I'm trying to think of what I did. I didn't play my Warlocks super much, but I've kind of had a thing for that Death Knight lately. And so I've been just, you know, doing world quests and getting some gears and leveling my followers and playing around on Argus a little bit. But it's been fun. Did I do that this week? Last week? Whatever? Or the week before? I don't know. I did play a paladin for a little while. I dinged. I think I hit something too.
92? I think it was 92.
I think so. I don't know when that was, though. But that happened.
That was last week. I remember when we talked about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. Did I play that one again? I don't think I did, but yeah. But definitely having fun with the Death Knight. Although, I've just been doing the world quests, and I kind of want to go do old world stuff and solo old raid instances, but I just haven't had time for that. So, yeah. Who wants to go up next? Medros, how was your week?
Not too bad. Worked a little bit on my Torn Paladins class stuff. Unlocked some new followers last night. Still haven't figured out how to open the treasure room for a boosted character in Legion. Pretty sure the answer is you probably can't.
To do what? Sorry?
Unlock the treasure room.
What treasure room?
On the Broken Shore.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about, where you exchange
nether shards?
Something for keys.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a boosted character, you said?
Yeah. This is a character boosted. I can't seem to get that quest, nor do I have the daily. So, or the every three daily.
Because my Dalaran Warlock was boosted, and I can do that on him, but I haven't been able to do it on my Death Knight, maybe because I haven't done the pre-requirements, but I definitely did not boost him.
I did
that way back in the day.
All my other tunes have it. But that one doesn't. So basically the plan for me on that character, I'm going to continue with the Paladin class stuff. I'm almost done the stuff that happened pre-Legion Fall. And then I'll see what I have access to once I begin the stuff after. Like the stuff that led up to Legion Fall in my Paladin stuff, which is basically defend Nether something temple for the priest class hall from Legion attack. I'm working on that now, so I should have that done in the next few days. And then I'll see what comes available to me on the Broken Shore. Because right now I'm very limited on the world quests that I can do on the Broken Shore at this point on that character. Like I get no elite ones. I'm very restricted there. So slowly working on getting that character up. Realized something 2 days ago that I was really kicking myself for. I realized there was an item you can get on the Broken Shore to boost a follower's eye level to 880.
Yes.
I guess I didn't, for some reason, realize that existed, and there's at least 3 or 4 characters that I manually boosted using a crapload of the armor things.
Wait, there's an item that does that?
Yeah. And it's for nether shards.
Oh my... Oh, yeah,
400 other shards boosts a follower to 880. It's not... Like, it's BOP, so you can't even... You can't transfer it?
It's BOA.
Is it BOA?
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
Really?
Man. I feel bad because I didn't tell you guys about this, but I've been... I did that with all my followers on my DK within the past couple of weeks because I noticed that was a thing. And, yeah, I did that.
Well, I know what I'm doing after the show because I've got, like, 60... I've got a ridiculous amount of resources on my warrior now because I've been world questing like crazy. So I'm gonna go buy those.
It's not the order hall resources; it's the nether shards.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've done a lot of nether shards too.
Yeah.
I've got characters like 70,000 of those damn things.
Yeah.
I can spare one or two.
Or 400.
Let's see. I've got my highest character. It has 122,000.
Okay.
I think I can spare a few hundred for some of those things for my character.
Maybe.
One or two.
Might be a little tight. It's fine.
Yeah. I'll survive, though. I'm confident. I felt really stupid because, yeah, like I said, there were several characters that I loaded up manually up to 900, and I could have saved myself a lot of hassle by buying these things. On those characters because they had lots of nether shards at the time, but I just didn't think about it.
Well, thankfully, I only have my priest and my shaman to worry about.
One other thing, those nether shards are things that we collected before, like in the pre-legion events. So, I have my WoW up, so I looked at my collections or currency tab. And I have nether shards on all of my characters. I mean, my mage only has 273, and my rogue has 428. But those guys are like 90 or lower. I think 90 or 95. Yeah. No. Like mop content, maybe. So, yeah. You might already have some on those characters.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to have to look later.
Yep, those are BOA. I feel really stupid.
Hmm.
And the crates of champion equipment is not BOA. And all the Dauntless stuff is BOP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I feel kind of not smart on that one.
We all make mistakes.
So, gonna buy some of those and send those over to my alts, because, yeah. I'm pretty sure I have some alts that are still needing some of those.
Mr. Medros making it rain.
Making it rain tokens for eye level.
Followers. You get a token, and you get a token, and you get a token.
Yeah, some days. Some days I wonder about myself.
It's okay. It's not something that we talked about ever, so how are you to know?
This is true. Other than that, worked a little bit on a few of my lower characters.
Like your Void Elf?
Yes, I got a couple levels on my Void Elf. Did not find a macro that was not like max level. For sending my Voidwalker out, figured a workable solution for the time being.
If you have default bindings, it's just control one.
Yeah, that might be an idea.
Yeah. Or if you have assist, I think as soon as you start attacking something, then it'll run.
Yeah, I want it. I want things to never be aggroed on me.
Oh,
if at all possible.
Yeah.
So you want it to attack first.
Yeah, yeah. I want it to run in there and do its blueberry job.
Blue Jello. Sorry, that was uncalled for.
I don't think I've really done much on my High Mountain or my Light Forge this week. They've pretty much stayed static. Let's see. Oh, on my Torn Paladin, I did actually finally get all of the equipment achievements up to the Legion ones for Epic. So that was pretty fun. Equipping, like, because everything I had when I boosted the character was like crappy green gear. There's no achievement for that. And then I just slowly replaced it as there was world quests that I could do to increase those levels. And once I did that, like once I equipped the last item, I just got like a crap load of achievements on that character. That was pretty funny. And he's now like, he went from 870 to 895, I think, between all the stuff that I equipped with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so slowly but surely worked up to that on him, and he's got lots of really good stuff now. I need to find a good transmog that works for a Torn Paladin. My other two max level paladins both have a transmog that is specific to them. This character does not. He has very, very basic looking gear, so I just don't know what would look good on a Torn, so...
Plate and gold or white. I mean, that's the basic paladin transmog. That's all you need.
Yeah, I guess.
Plate, gold, and white make them look as... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Holy?
Ostentatious.
Okay.
It's make him look as ostentatious as possible. And there's a paladin transmog.
All right, then. But yeah, at this point, just been working on that, not focusing too much on other stuff. I figure I've got probably at least 3 or 4 months before I have to worry about Battle for Azeroth, so I will slowly work on those characters and get them at least, hopefully, to Warlord's level. Like, at least up to level 90 or 100, but I don't know, we'll see. They're not a priority, but I don't really have a lot of other stuff to do, unless I want to, like, open up all the stuff on Argus for all of my characters, which should be a lot of repeating the same stuff over and over and over. And I don't know that I want to do that, so. But yeah, that's been about it for me this week. Otherwise, just doing the basic stuff, so.
Cool.
How about you, Toasty?
Oh, man, it's been a pretty eventful couple of weeks away, so let's see. Did I boost my shaman already last time I was on the show? Maybe. I've been playing around on her a lot. That's been a lot of fun. Like, I tried going with enhancement for a little while, and I just couldn't get back into it. Like, it feels off from what it used to feel like. Like the last time I put serious time into my shaman was probably... Mists. Otherwise, I just level it to cap and then move on kind of thing. But I really tried to put actual time into it because I wanted to... I remember enjoying enhancement and I wanted to see how that went. And it was not fun. I did not enjoy enhancement at all. I don't think I tried it for a week before I'm like, screw this! Elemental. And so I've been playing her as an elemental shaman since... I think probably for the past week. Elemental's so much fun. Oh my god. Especially with their artifact ability, just making the chain lightning instant cast. And amazing. Spamming that chain lightning on trash packs is so much fun. Just see the numbers shoot up. Love it. Made some more progress on getting Argizian Reach and Army of the Light reputation up. Not quite there yet. I think I'm pretty close with Army of the Light. Probably a couple days worth of dailies or world quests should take care of that. Argizian Reach, if I really want to push it, will probably be till like sometime next week. But I don't know. I'm enjoying just taking my time with the content at this point. What else happened? I got a new mount. That was cool.
What was that?
What?
I got the that purple bird thing.
Purple bird thing.
The violet spell wing. Because I got AOTC.
Yeah.
That was hard. Oh man, Argus, like, it wasn't so much Argus was nowhere near like the showstopper for us. It was Heroic Coven then. Heroic Coven is just, you gotta execute that fight perfectly, otherwise you're boned. And even if you do execute things perfectly, if some things don't line up properly, like we get that, I forget which boss it is that creates that one-shots you, but or the one pantheon ability that one-shots you when you walk into the area, but it's not fun. And if you combo that with Storm of Darkness at the wrong time, you're pretty much just asking for a wipe. Golgoneth, that was it. Thanks, Junks. Of course, you would remember it being the raid leader and all. Yeah, Golgoneth is when you get too close together, right? Isn't it the two yards one? Golgoneth isn't fun either. If you combo with Storm of Darkness, it's Golgoneth and Norgannon. Those comboing those two with Storm of Darkness is just, I don't like it at all. Because Golgoneth, you can't get closer than 2 yards together. But the way Storm of Darkness works is the entire room gets filled with crap, and you gotta stand in these circles to not get hurt by them. So you're really hovering between, like, getting into those circles and not dying by getting too close with Golgoneth. And with Norgannon, like, the entire raid thing is a square. And you'll have mobs on all four sides slowly walking in. And if you even touch those mobs, you just die. You just flat out die. So you gotta, like, CC them and shove them out of the way. And if you don't have to worry about Storm of Darkness, that's fine. But if you combo that with Storm of Darkness, like, sometimes it doesn't matter how much CC you have, you're not gonna live through it. So, on top of needing perfect execution in that fight, you're kind of a slave to RNG. Which kind of sucks. It feels good when you finally beat it, but, like, occasionally it feels like it takes longer than it needs to. Aggramar, again, was also, you know, a little bit more difficult than I had anticipated. I think mostly because that fight is largely dependent on a large amount of CC, and if you don't have the CC, it's not going to end well for you. I think it was a couple weeks ago where you were trying Aggramar, and we only had two or three forms of CC, just because a bunch of people couldn't make it for a variety of reasons. And attempting that fight with that little CC is also not ideal. So, yeah. But last week, everything worked out. We had everybody we needed to have there. And on Friday, I finally got AOTC. The rest of the guild had gotten AOTC a couple weeks prior. But I didn't manage that because I think I was sick that week, which sucked.
Oh, so they need to do without you to get it, okay.
Yeah, that pretty much. Kind of weigh them down. It's fine.
Don't worry, I'll be the next one to go down, I assume.
Yeah. We're not quite on farm yet. Once it gets on farm, though, we'll drag you along.
I will look forward to tanking the floor.
You'll have to compete with a bunch of people. Some people are have pretty high rep with the floor. Perg's one of them. Tano's another one. They're very well acquainted with that floor. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. I guess I'll fight for the affection of the floor, I guess.
When both of them are in raid, make sure to, like, use recount to say how many each person died. Like, oh, well, Tano won this week, Perg won this week.
I'm confident I will win the first week. I'm there.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. Because, like, if you go down, we're probably not going to use a B-res on you.
That's a smart choice, yes.
if Tano or Perg go down, we're using a B-res on them. So they have the potential to die twice in a fight.
Fair enough.
Perg is a pally?
Yeah. Okay. Which makes sense, because, you know, spending that much time with the floor.
Oh my.
Yeah, so after we got the AOTC, I'm like, I can finally do Silithus. I feel okay completing the Silithus quests. And I went to Silithus, picked those quests up, saw that I had to do a bunch of collecting and do a battleground, and was like, no. No, not tonight. It's like 12:30. I'm okay. And then I played Overwatch.
Of course.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know what I just realized we didn't put in the notes? That I meant to put in the notes? Because, you know, it's a direct reference to our show title.
I just figured that you were making a joke and didn't want to talk about it, but all right.
Talking about the Zendalari troll forms? Troll druid forms? Because, yeah. Oh my god, I want them. I want them badly. But that means I have to go horde. And also, you know, be a tank.
Yep.
And be a druid.
Yes.
But, like, I still want them. I want to play as a turtle blizzard. Want to play as a turtle, give me the ability, give me Tortolans, give me something that lets me be a turtle. I feel bad for all the other druid races at this point. Like, am I the only one that feels bad for the other druid races right now?
No, not at all. I mean, Tauren is like way backburned now.
Even the dark spear troll druids, they have cool looking forms, being neon cats and all that other crap, and they also have bat form, which is cool.
Yeah.
But Tauren druids, they have horns, maybe. Night elves, I mean, they're there. Worgens have manes.
Well, I guess night elves and Tauren are kind of the same level. At the bottom of the bottom pedestal. So we're the first ones, right?
Yeah. I want them to have cooler forms. They feel like they have to do cooler forms now that they're doing something with the Zandalari druids, right? They can't just stand pat with those old forms.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, like, especially the Moonkin form. The Moonkin forms make sense for the Night Elves and the Taurens, because they'll have actually interacted with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I want cooler forms for all the druid races. Forget all the naming conventions for the different abilities. I don't care anymore. Just rename them to something generic that also fits, and give them unique forms. That's all I'm saying. Just give me something cool, Blizz. Or just let me play a turtle. Give the other druid races something cool, or let me play a turtle. And that's all I have to say about that.
If you play a turtle, then you can be a hunter's pet.
Or it could be a humanoid turtle warrior.
Or a turtle's pet. Hunter's pet.
No, I'm okay with that. I will not play a murloc. I don't want to play a murloc, I want to play a turtle. Murlocs are not turtles, Zephyra. Anyway, I'm done now.
Are you sure?
Yep. Well, I don't know how to say your name, Zephyra. I'm just sounding it out based on what I read. You know what? I'm not going to get into that conversation.
Zephyra? I assume? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, too. Who knows?
All right.
They want you to call them Zed.
Okay, we'll call them Zed. No, that's... Zed is the correct way of pronouncing that, Zephyra.
Well, anyway. Give up then. Unless you tell us how to pronounce it. Anyways.
Medjos, tell us about our first sponsor.
Sure. Our first sponsor is the great folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you have definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more outside of Blizzardverse like Firefly, Doctor Who, Sherlock, and more. I like to highlight Funko Pop each week, and this week Funko is going to be something that I think at least two people on the show are very excited for, and that is the first one of the Ready Player One Funko Pops that have been shown at New York Toy Fair. They're coming out later this month. Am I right, Toasty? Are you as excited about these as I am?
I think I'm excited about the movie more, honestly. It's been hard to get excited about collectibles because I don't have any room for them anymore.
Fair enough.
When I get room for them, I'll probably will be excited again.
Good. Well, the one I'm very excited about is there's actually, it's kind of like a three, and that's the lead character of Parzival. He is the hero of the story, and they have three different versions of his Funko Pop. They have the main version, they have a patina version, and they have a translucent version. The patina version is available at Walmart, the translucent one's available at Hot Topic, but the main version is available everywhere. And I think this would be a lot of fun to collect these. There's a lot of different ones, including variants, like chase variants, like Jade, Glow in the Dark, and so on. So if you are excited about the Ready Player One movie, this is definitely something you want to look at. The going rate is about $10 for one of these, and they are going to be really awesome. They're connected to the movie, and I think the movie is going to be good, even though it's probably going to anger some people, to be honest. So because there's going to be people who are going to be very unhappy that they changed some stuff, added some stuff, made changes to the from the book to the movie that really make no sense. But that is for a very different podcast and a very different time. Definitely check out the folks over Funko. They have, like I said, lots of different Funkos. They have thousands by now. I think, according to the site that I'm on here, there are over 5,000 different Funko Pops. And that is a lot of Funko Pops. Yeah, it's a really cool collectible if you're into collecting stuff. So if you want to check out this Funko and many others, you can go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. And again, use Shop10 to save 10%. And we thank Funko for their support of the show. Like the character Shoto, his name's changed to Show. Don't know why. Makes no sense. It's weird.
Rude?
It says weird.
Oh.
I mean, it could also be rude.
This is true. It could also be rude. It just seems like really weird that they would change a character's name by two letters. It's not simply changing the movie to have left it where it was. But that's just me. But anyways, what's coming up with this weekend? WoW?
Well, you know, what's today?
It is the
5th. March 5th. It's a brand new month, buddy.
Okay, so what's up with WoW in this month then?
Holy, there's so much stuff. Well, ongoing right now is the Dark Moon Fair because, hey, it's a new month and it's the first full week of the new month. So that started on Sunday. It's going to run until Saturday, so March 4th to the 10th. Also on right now is Trial of Style. That started today and that runs till March 9th. So if you're into that, you have Transmog stuff, go check out Trial of Style. I have so many items that I could transmog, but I have no idea what they are, so I would never do any good at that. What else do we have here? Pet Battle bonus event starts March 6th to the 12th, and also the PvP Brawl Temple of Hotmogu is that same week. The week after is Cataclysm Time Walking. That's going to be from March 13th to the 19th. And in between, Un'Goro Madness. That's one of the minor holiday things. Dinosaurs in Un'Goro are getting restless. Time to go pay them a visit. That's going to be from March 17th. Oh, that's St. Paddy's Day, right? To March 19th. And then from March 20th to the 27th is the Arena Skirmish bonus event. And that same week is the PvP Brawl Deep 6. And the week after that, rounding up the month of March, is the World Quest bonus event from March 27th to April 2nd. That's all. Whole bunch of stuff going on this month. The normal weekly stuff, and then, the Un'Goro Madness sprinkled in there, and Trial of Style. Good luck for everybody doing Trial of Style this week.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, the event is started today, and there's some new stuff coming.
The Mindrak Raiment, the Tenderspite Armor, Crimson Sentinel Garb, and Goldspine Plate. Now, Toasty, you did Trial Style last year, right?
Yeah.
So, you can't see what the trial or what the event is beforehand. You have to put stuff on and help you in, or like how does
it work? There's a transmog vendor within the instance, so okay. You'll be able to transmog in there.
Okay.
Oh, there's new props too. Ah, cool. There's a dance floor and a spotlight and flames. Oh yeah, and the important part about the transmog vendor within the trial style, transmog is free.
Okay. But it doesn't persist outside of that, right?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
How much does transmog an artifact?
Nope. Fraz's saying it's free outside. I don't remember that. I don't pay attention to the gold cost that much, to be honest. Transmogging is, like, at most a couple hundred gold. And that's only really... It only really gets to be that much if you transmog your artifact weapons. Once you transmog your weapons, I noticed the cost skyrockets. It almost doubles. Okay, so we're getting conflicting information about whether or not the trial style outside of transmog is free, but definitely within the instance it's free.
I would totally compete one just to transmog back free of charge, and then, you know, prepare to lose the transmog competition. That would be what I would do, that's all.
Hey, you'll get tokens either way.
Fair enough. So, are you prepared for the new round?
Oh yeah, I'm all ready to go with that. I've got my four characters that I always do these contests with. I say always, but I have like the one as a reference.
How long do you get in the fitting room to set up your transmog?
I think it's only a couple minutes. It's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, I'm going to do the competition just because it's something to do. But I'm not a fan of any of the rewards. Like the cloth one looks cool, maybe. The plate one is just a recolored. What's that called? Mite, I think. Which is it's cool. It's gold, so I would only ever wear it on a paladin. Well, I guess I have to level up a paladin in Battle for Azeroth, so I'll probably use that. But yeah, they're cool looking, and I can see why some people would like them. I just know that I don't like them. Still, it's something to do, and I like doing that. I like these contests, so whatever. So the three new toys, like the trial of like the flames one. Basically, it'll just add fire to your to when you're showing off your transmog on the stage, which is cool. Spotlight adds a spotlight, and the dance floor just adds like dance decorations.
Well, I'm glad that round two is live, and I wish you the best of luck, and all the votes go in your favor.
Oh yeah, I'll be throwing up the pictures in our Discord for everybody to enjoy. I really liked the transmogs I put together last time, especially considering how little time I had to throw them together.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't look into the themes or anything like that ahead of time last time. I just threw them together in the couple minutes they gave you.
So are you going to have a preset stock now, or...?
No. I'm not sure if the themes have changed. Oh, it looks like a couple of them have changed. Which is fine. I'm still not going to plan anything ahead of time. I don't know. That kind of takes the fun out of it, I think. But I like the pressure of throwing something together during the competition.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move along to what else is new this week.
All right, the battleground that was talked about at BlizzCon, I want to say. It has finally released. It's called the Seething Shore. It's a resource allocation map, so there are three nodes to collect resources from, and the first 1,500 Azurite wins and claims victory. So, yeah. I haven't had a chance to do it, but from what I understand, like the bases where you're going to acquire the Azurite change throughout the course of the map, so you got to capture those different points. Yeah, the video made it look like I'd have a decent time in there. I gotta be in the right mood to do PvP battlegrounds, so...
Yeah, not dying is a kind of prerequisite for me.
Yeah.
And I occasionally have fun with battlegrounds, if you just can find the right people to go with, I think.
Yeah, if you have a few people that you run with, it's a lot more fun. And, not too many people, because then you start to get matched with big pre-made groups. It's also nice if you have a pocket healer with you that will heal you and you don't die.
Yeah. I'll never forget, and I'm sure I've told this story on the show before, a battle for Gildaeus during Cataclysm when it first came out. We ended up with a disproportionate amount of healers to the number of people in there. Pretty sure Battle for Gildaeus is a 15v15. I think we ended up with a group and a half of healers.
Whew.
So I got pocketed pretty much the entire time. The Wrecking Ball achievement, I was one kill short of that.
Oh.
I don't remember exactly how many kills there was. 30. But I just know I looked at the killing blows afterwards and like, oh. Because I died and then the game ended. We won, which was great, but I was one off. I was very angry about that.
Yeah.
Like, that keyboard did not survive the anger. Which is the reason I have a spare keyboard now. I haven't had to use it, like, ever, but it's nice to have the spare. Especially after that incident. I haven't even got close to that. Not once since then.
I think I got that achievement a long time. Long, 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 long time ago.
La-di-da.
But it might have been like with a lower level character. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, Seething Shore. That's available right now. If you haven't done your Silithus quest, there's a quest in Silithus to pick up to do that. So make sure you pick that up before you queue up. And yeah, enjoy. Enjoy collecting Azurite before Battle for Azeroth.
And we have a bit of a reminder, PSA for our listeners, don't we, Darkhan?
Yeah, for anybody that's into Mythic Keystone Dungeons, the Mythic Dungeon Invitational entries for that are due on March 16th. And so, how does that work? That's weird. Because it's 2 weeks. Week 1 starts February 27th. Week 2 starts March 6th. Oh, it ends on March 13th. Why did I... Oh. Wow. I'm apparently dyslexic. Anyways, you have to have... I think it's 5 qualifying runs. I can't remember the Keystone level. 25? It's in the blog post. But you have to have so many qualifying runs over the 2 weeks, and they have to be all different dungeon, or different mythic dungeons. So, and that's just the qualifying for it, but it'd be interesting, fun to watch when they actually pick the teams to do those. Oh, it's 5 level 23 mythic Keystone dungeons over the 2 weeks, have to be unique dungeons. And each week has different buffs or abilities for the mobs.
Affixes,
that's right. Week 1 is going to be Raging, Volcanic, and Tyrannical. Week 2 is going to be Teeming, Explosive, and Fortified. I'm really looking forward to hopefully watching some teams do these things, because level 23 Mythic Dungeon is over double anything I've ever done. I don't think I've ever done level 12 or mythic 12. So I could just imagine how difficult that is.
Teaming explosive and fortified, that's going to be a gigantic pain in the butt. Oh my god. Because teaming adds more trash. Explosive makes the trash explode. And then fortified just increases the health level of the trash, right? Or of everything. So you have more harder to kill explosive trash. Oh, that sounds awful. Can you imagine getting like, I forget which Kara has lots of trash, but one of them definitely has a lot of trash. That would suck. Or what's the name of the dungeon that came out with Argus? I forget the name of that one now, but there's a lot of trash there too. Those affixes sound terrible in combination with multiple trash packs. 2 out of 10 would not recommend.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done that dungeon yet, but
like, there's a lot of trash.
Yeah.
A significant amount of trash.
So the thing I was getting tied up on, I'm just reading the post again. After week 1 and 2, you have to submit your top scores using a form. All entries must be received by March 16th by 3 p.m. Pacific. So if you do them, you have a form that you have to fill out and talk about your team name and your captain and the rest of your team. I do believe that you have to have the same 5 characters as well. So same 5 people, same 5 player characters. So if you're running with a druid, rogue, priest, paladin, warrior, you have to run with those same characters for every single run to qualify properly. And you need 5 23 mythics. Thank you. I'll just watch it.
I'll watch in awe as people manage to do these within the time limit. Alright. Well, that's not the only esporty thing going on. WoW Arena Cup 3 is going to be starting on the 10th and 11th. So signups did close today, but the event will be broadcast on Twitch on the 10th and 11th. So feel free to go check that out. Prize pool is, what it normally is. Lots of money. Well, 5 grand for first place. And the top point earners will be invited to compete at the spring finals in March for their share of $100,000. Bracket play begins on March 7th, and the last 8 teams will be broadcast on Twitch March 10th and 11th, beginning at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
And that's just for North America. I think there's for other regions as well. I just don't know the dates. I didn't get that down.
So yeah. Go ahead and watch that, if it sparks your interest anyway. I think that was all the esports stuff, right?
I think so.
All right. Why don't you tell us about some of the other stuff going on in WoW, or around it?
For sure. So, this is actually a series that I didn't know existed until today. Now, this is apparently a series called The Fine Art of Fan Art. I assume it's made by Blizzard. I can't imagine how much work that must have taken to plan, to create, or to get the camera angles just right, to get just everything required for this is just incredible.
That's like a feature-length movie. Oh my god.
While I did not know that this series existed, this is absolutely somebody who deserves to have their work highlighted by Blizzard. You can check out the series over on, I believe it's on the YouTube channel for WoW. Let's see here. Look at the first episode highlighted Thomas Carlson, a Swedish digital artist who draws WoW fan art with his computer. And I think the second one is not listed here, but definitely check it out. It's on this is up on the World of Warcraft channel on YouTube. So I definitely recommend checking it out and see what art they're highlighting. And definitely check out the this machinima.
I just quickly watched one of his machinimas, because they're not all 90 minutes. There's one that's a minute and a half. And
now, that's a set I keep behind.
Wow. Is all I have to say. Like, not only is he doing just the standard machinima stuff in terms of, like, model manipulation and things like that, looks like there's some, like, original animation in there, too. Because one of them is, like, is the Gates of Orgrimmar being destroyed. Yeah, give this guy a watch. It's Shug on YouTube. S-U-G-E.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a pretty big anniversary that's happening. Pretty big indeed. And I'll be honest, I did not realize this was coming up. Starting tomorrow, Blizzard is going to start celebrating 20 years of StarCraft. Now, you remember back, I think it was 4 years ago, they celebrated the 20 years of WarCraft. And yeah, it's been 20 years this year since StarCraft made its debut. They are giving some stuff away. So if you have StarCraft Remastered, you'll get a StarCraft 20th Anniversary UI skin. And that'll be available after March 6th. If you are a Diablo player, you'll get a Dominion's Revenge pet. If you are a StarCraft 2 player, you'll get some Anniversary UI skins, portrait, and decals. Overwatch, you'll get a Sarah Kerrigan ghost skin. In Warcraft, you'll get some Feet of Strength by saluting. If you're in Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft 20th Anniversary Portraits, Hearthstone, you get 3 Kobolds and Catacombs packs. So, yay, Diablo guys, you did not get the short end of the stick on this event. Congratulations. You got something you note.
How many pets are there, companion pets are there in Warcraft, though? Like,
a few.
There's been a few over the years, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm not so sure that it's a bad thing. Like, WoW doesn't need to be front and center for everything.
No, but we got a Feet of Strength, man. Like, come on. Anyways, it is what it is. So yeah, if you're a Warcraft player, if you aren't, why are you here? But if you're a Warcraft player, you can look for the StarCraft themed companion pets. I'm sure people will have them out. I'm sure there'll be NPCs with them out. But you're looking for Zergling, Grunty, Mini Thor, Baneling, or Zeradar. And if you slash salute to them, you'll get a Feat of Strength. That's between March 31st and April 6th.
I don't have a couple of those. I thought I did. I think all I have is the Baneling.
I'm pretty sure I have the Zergling. I don't know.
Zergling came with the Vanilla Collector's Edition, I think.
Yeah. So I've got that, for sure. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Grunty was a BlizzCon one?
Collector's Edition, right? So.
Mini Thor was for Wings of Liberty. Baneling was for... Yeah. Baneling was Heart of the Swarm. Zeradar was Legacy of the Void. Which reminds me, I still have to finish that game.
I still have to start it. or finish Heart of the Swarm.
I don't have Legacy of the Void yet, I don't think.
I remember being so stoked to finish that storyline, and I got halfway through the game, and other stuff came up, and I got distracted.
That was kind of the same with me in Heart of the Swarm.
I want to go back and finish it at some point, but I think I'm at the point where I've forgotten what's happened so far.
Yeah.
And I might need to start over again. We'll see. Who knows? I might just start playing it and it'll all come back to me.
There you go.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Alright, so I have Grunty and Zergling. I do not have the other three, because I don't have any collector's editions for StarCraft. But I've got 2 of them. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll be happy with that.
I know I went digital for Heart of the Maybe I got the physical for Heart of the Swarm, too. I'm looking at my shelf, and I can't actually see any of the boxes, but I know I have at least one. Where do those boxes go? Oh, no.
That sounds ominous.
I'm going to have to look for those. It might have been on the shelf that collapsed a few months ago.
Oh.
And I put it somewhere, like, in a box for storage until I move. That's probably what happened, actually. I'll look for it later.
Good plan. I think that is the end of our news, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we'll talk about our second sponsor then, I guess.
Yeah, so our second sponsor is, of course, the good folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to feature the first book in the Divine Dungeon series, that's Dungeonborn. It's written by Dakota Kraut and narrated by Vikas Adam. Why don't we have a listen real quick?
There was a dark, earthy color moving through the rock, wriggling in set sequences like a worm moves through dirt. I reflexively reached out and touched it with my mind, and little sparkles of it pulled away from the stone and drifted toward me. What was this? How did it follow my mind? It kept coming closer, now of its own accord. In an act of defiance, when the dark color touched my crystalline surface, I grabbed it and pulled it in, absorbing it. Shock rippled through my being. It was amazing. The most delicious thing I had ever eaten in my life. To be fair, the only thing I had eaten in my life. I wanted more. I tried to reach out to that brown energy again, but it kept slipping away before I could touch it again. Was it mad at me? I kept trying again and again, but I got so tired.
That's a really interesting series. I've listened to all three of the books in the series. As players in games like this, we think about dungeons more as inanimate. This presents a theory like, what if the dungeons were alive? What if the dungeons were people?
Okay.
It's really interesting. And you get to see the world.
I'll be honest, I haven't actually listened to the series yet. It was on my list of suggested titles based on my previous listening, and it was the only one that appealed to me out of that list. So that's why I picked it. So I already used my credits to pick up the series after listening to the trial clip. So I'm looking forward to listening to that.
There's currently three books in the series. I'm really hoping the author writes more. The most recent one that came out just a few weeks ago. So it'll probably be a little while before we get another one. But yeah, I've been going through audiobooks really quickly. Like, one every day or two. Yeah. Lit RPG books are a lot of fun. Well, I listen at work.
Wow. One every day or two? Jeez. I try listening at work, and I find I lose track of what's happening. It eventually just becomes background noise. I'm like, wait, when did this happen? So yeah. I stopped listening to audiobooks at work. Now it's just pretty much the ride there and back home. And even then, I like fall asleep for part of the ride. So, I miss stuff.
Yeah, like a 10-hour audiobook, if it lasts me a full 2 days, is a good idea. It's a good, yeah. I might have a problem.
All right, well, I look forward to listening to this one.
I will say, though, I'm really getting into this lit RPG type books, which I don't know if this is... It is hard sometimes to find ones that we can talk about on the show. Let's put it that way. And that makes me sad, because I like talking about books on the show.
Yeah, I had to start looking for other stuff outside of my library, because I've sampled all the books that are in my library that were appropriate. And then, like, the other ones are far from it. Like, I know I've got the Godfather series in there. Like, all the Godfather books, and like, no, we can't play those.
Yeah, there's been a few that have scenes that cannot... When I was finished reading it, it was definitely not okay to be mentioned on the show. It had content that... well beyond the acceptable content for the show. Let's put it that way. That would be good for, like, a Dawnforge After Dark or something like that. A show that does not follow the constraints of Dawnforge Productions. Let's put it that way. All right. But yeah, definitely check out Audible. They're really awesome.
Okay. So, question of the week. Oh, wow. For last week was, what are you most excited for in the Warcraft 3 Invitational? We didn't get any answers.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that announcement?
I'll be honest. I meant to go watch it. I even had it on for a little bit. And I got distracted watching something else on Twitch.
I had watched part of it, or part of something related to that, one day, and I forgot about it after that. Boo.
Oh, you know what distracted me?
What?
Brigitte was announced as the hero, and people were streaming playing her on the PTR. So I actually had the Warcraft 3 Invitational open, and then closed it to find a Brigitte stream.
Oh.
I mean, I haven't had much time to play her at all, but she seems pretty cool. I mean, it's Torm's daughter, and she's freakishly tall compared to Torm.
So not a dwarf?
Yeah, I don't know.
He looks like a dwarf.
Well, he's not a dwarf. He's a voice line that says he's not a dwarf.
If he's not a dwarf, he shouldn't look like one.
Okay. Paladins look like warriors, but they're not. They're far inferior.
Fine.
That being said, Jake, Brigitte has a very paladin feel to her. I mean, she's got, you know, the shield, the mace, and heavy plates, and she heals. So, yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. Oh, well. We'll see how it plays out. So, our question for next week is, what different animal forms would you like to see for the other druid races? I tried to give this some thought. And, I feel like the Night Elves are good with where they are, in terms of the animal races they have available to them. The Worgen, I feel like, could have played more into, especially with the cat form. The cat form feels really weird when you're a Worgen. Am I the only one? I can't be the only one that feels that way.
So right? What you're saying is it's a little weird to go from being a dog to a cat?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
And, maybe for their bear form, they could have gone to a beefier dog. Like, maybe it's a big bulldog. Right?
Yeah.
The Tauren is another one where I feel like they might be okay with where they are. If anything, I can't think of a big beefy animal that would feel right with the Tauren that's not just a big cow. And let's face it, that would not work well with bear form.
What about a kudo for that'd be kind of weird though.
Yeah, because I mean the kudos, the way their limbs are doesn't really lend itself to being able to swipe.
Yeah,
I would like to see all of the races get a decent moonkin form, one that, you know, reflects changes in your artifact, perhaps. Because, yeah, I don't like it.
That would be cool. But, I mean, even the Zandalari trolls have a lot going for them in terms of their druid forms. The Owlkin one, their Boomkin form. I mean, it's not a Boomkin, but whatever. Despite all their cool forms, that still does not look cool. At least not in my opinion. Looks kind of weird. That's our question. I'm looking forward to hearing the answers on this one. This could be very interesting.
For sure. All right. I'm trying to see if we have the final stuff on Patreon. I don't think we do yet. So we'll do Patreon next week. But I think that's about it. Fan, how about your shout-out?
I'm going to give a shout-out to our chat room, because there's a lot of people in there tonight, and I couldn't even keep up with all the dialogue that's going on. So shout out to all of you for hanging out and listening to us. I appreciate that.
I'll give a shout out to Emma for making another interesting live chat, even if she's not on the show.
I'm going to give a shout out to Rathion, who's been putting up with abuse all night.
I am not being abusive. I am simply speaking the truth. He is an evil black dragon. I'm sorry you guys can't see the truth.
You're judging him based on his people, and that's not cool.
Really?
Although, really? To be fair, he did order the assassination of many, many black dragons. But those black dragons were evil. They're all corrupted and stuff. I don't know. It's very complicated with Baratheon. I understand both your points of view. I don't know personally where I fall on is Baratheon a good dragon argument.
I don't feel there's any argument here. He's an evil dragon.
And you're entitled to your opinion, absolutely. Like I said, I see both points. And he's a complicated character.
Uh-huh. Anyways. That's... I'm done.
I'm not trying to start an argument. I'm just... Yeah, okay. So, I'll take us out, okay?
Good plan.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeth is at Fandeth. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And check out our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetATA. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the evil dragon Baratheon.
Oh, the potentially good, potentially bad dragon Baratheon.
I got nothing to say.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.